Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Now, before we talk about these appointments, I gotta say, I cannot wait until we can put Dante in his first pair of Vivo barefoot shoes. That moment is going to be so delightful, so we can all be matching in our little shoes. But it's so crazy to me that when we look for shoes for first walkers for kids, we really look for wide toe area, not just a toe box, but a wide toe area, a flexible shoe bottom, and a thin sole. That's what you're looking for. That's what's recommended from pediatric PTs. And yet, when we come into adulthood, we don't see that anymore. All of a sudden, it's get more structure, have your toes squished into this little shoe and have a huge heel lift. How does that make sense? How do we start from something more functional and then end in something that is not great for our foot? We need to get back to the basics in order for our foot to be able to do what it's supposed to. And so getting your own foot into some Vivo barefoot shoes is going to get it back into that flexible function that our foot should be doing from the time it's born. We're born with beautiful feet. Believe me, I am obsessed with Dante's feet. They're perfect. And we want to keep them that way. And so getting your feet back into some shoes that'll help it build its strength, allow your toes to have their natural mobility is what's going to be best for your feet. I'm telling you, it takes time to adjust into a new shoe for sure. So it might be a transitional period, but the more you wear them gradually over time, the more your foot's going to start to build its natural strength and support in order to reduce pain, injury, even all the way up the body. So if you haven't yet, get yourself some Vivo barefoot shoes, code TOB for 15% off, or you could just go and click that link, use TOB 15% off, and get yourself some Vivo barefoot shoes. So today we're going to discuss how we brought our newborn. I believe he was like 4.5 weeks at one appointment and 6 weeks at, and or not even, yeah, 6 weeks at another appointment. To a physical therapist and a chiropractic appointment. And we just want to discuss what we truly believe was most supportive as far as a provider-parent relationship for your child and what you really should be looking for.
Yeah, and like what we don't want this episode to turn into, the title is like a chiropractor and our physical therapy appointment. And people like to pit those two professions against each other.
Yes,
and even
much.
People listening to this, you might get like triggered about, oh, you didn't like that. You must not like all chiropractors. Yeah. Like, no, that's not the purpose of this episode. No. Yes, those are the two appointments we brought them to. The purpose of this episode is talking about what we think providers can do to be effective for long-term health in their patients and why we think one visit was more effective than the other.
Exactly. Because we could also, on the flip of this, you know, walk into a PT appointment that we are so not happy with and really walk out really disappointed. So we just want to talk about the difference in the assessment, the treatment, and the plan of care moving forward for each.
Both Jen and I have worked with physical therapists. We have seen physical therapists practice that we don't agree with. I mean, there's this whole like sector of outpatient orthopedic physical therapy practices that we would consider like mills, where the patients just come in, they get some hands-on treatment, you get some manual therapy, and then you get sent out with little to no exercise to do at home. And so, again, it's not about the specific profession. There's good and bad of everything. There's good doctors, there's good PTs, there's good chiros, there's good plumbers, and there's, on the flip side of that, bad versions of all of those.
Yes. And I've actually, like, I was inspired to start working with people independently outside of a clinic because of a chiropractor who really inspired me with the way that she worked and what she did with people. Like, she was amazing. So, again, not a comparison between the two. Let's get into
it. Hopefully we've made that clear.
Hopefully we've made that really clear. Now, we do want to also say that we were recommended to go see a clinician because he was having a little issues with latching. He would latch, and not that he didn't. He did from the start, but he had a lot of clicking. He, you know, had trouble staying on. He had trouble flipping his lips all the way up. And so we had suspected for sure a lip tie on the front or at the top, and then we suspected a tongue tie at the bottom. But what's also recommended from our lactation consultant is to make sure that he's not, he doesn't originally have a lot of tension around his neck or jaw that could be presenting as a posterior tongue tie rather than the actual posterior tongue tie.
Yeah, like what's the root cause? Is there just a lot of tension in the tissues? Is that causing all of the fascial planes and things that connect mm-hmm. through the neck, tongue, jaw, and everything to be tight? So we wanted to kind of assess that.
Exactly. And so her recommendation actually was quite a few chiropractic offices as far as the relationships that she had and what she knew to be best. And so there was one pretty close to us.
Yep.
And so we decided, okay, let's take our babe. And we were really looking to confirm as well, like, is there a tongue tie? Because this was a chiropractic appointment. This particular chiropractor really was very familiar with a lot of the tie issues within young babies.
Yeah. So that was one of the first things. And going into this appointment, and again, we have to like be honest about our biases here. Like we didn't tell her that we're physical therapists. Mm-hmm. So that's up front. Like maybe she would have told us different things, treated us a little bit differently if she knew we were physical therapists. But going in and going into every appointment, we're really looking for, okay, we're fairly capable. We can do things at home. Mm-hmm. So what can this person give us to help us outside of the appointment? Mm-hmm. And then we finally get in the office with her and she starts doing the assessment.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Dante, our little babe, was a little fussy at this moment. He really wanted food, and she didn't want him to be fed at the moment because she didn't want him to spit up or anything on the table while she's trying to do her assessment and kind of look at him. So this is like the two moments that he really gets fussy, right? When he's tired and when he's hungry, which isn't that all of us?
Yeah, all of us, especially babies.
And so he's on the table like really uncomfortable, fussy, especially getting, you know, turned around and on different positions and everything. And really what she looked at, she put him prone is what I remember, and kind of like felt down his spine, what we call PAs. So going posterior to anterior, moving your thumbs from the back to the front.
Yeah. And she very well could have been doing what we would call like a transverse, where she's kind of on different levels, checking if those segments rotate.
Mm-hmm. And she mentioned along what we would call like from the upper back to the low back, she kind of mentioned that there was a little misalignment in that area, and then continued down around the pelvis and SI area where she worked a little bit and said her work there can help to facilitate pooping a little bit more or bowel movement.
She calls it the poop button.
Yeah.
Because the nerve roots that come out of there innervate the colons and stuff like that.
Right. And then she did look at his mouth.
Yeah, looked at his mouth, did a little bit of what we call like a suboccipital release up by his neck, kind of checked out his neck a little bit. And when she got done, she ultimately said like, okay, I'm not feeling a lot of imbalances and stuff here. He feels pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then she did mention that one spot in his mid back and said, you know, all of the adjustments, I don't do any like high velocity adjustments or cracks. It's all like vibrational, which makes sense, with a baby's spine. And babies are just very plastic, meaning they're very malleable. They have a lot of laxity and looseness in their ligaments and
still forming
bones for that matter. Yeah, our bones, we have so many more bones when we're babies versus adults, which is a fun fact. Like bones are still forming and fusing together. And then that was kind of it.
Yeah. And she did confirm the posterior tongue tie and the lip tie. And she
gave us a recommendation on a potential pediatric dentist or someone we could go see to take a further look at that.
Yeah. And she did say, it's a tough decision. You never know whether you think that you should or you shouldn't. That's completely up to the parents. She doesn't, force her opinion on that, which I do appreciate. She just said, here's the facts. Here's what I'm seeing. And then she said, I'd like to see him next week.
Yeah, I'd like to see him next week. I don't think I would need to see him more than, a couple times a week or something like that. And you can schedule out front.
Yep. And that was it. And here is where we have the issue moving forward is what is the plan of care? You said there was one little spot that could be misaligned, which we don't personally as physical therapists and what we know about physiology and the body agree with.
Just as practitioners and people who study the body, we don't agree with this whole, he's misaligned in this joint. Like he's a baby and he was fussy and he was moving and you're feeling his back through clothing. like when you're feeling a crying baby, any part of them can feel tense.
And his legs and back are moving.
His legs and back are kicking. So it's like, it's really hard for us to believe that doing these vibrational mobilizations down his back, you could feel as he's kicking and crying and everything, could feel that, oh, this one segment is misaligned. Mm-hmm. So that's tough for us. And then there's no, like you said, plan of care. There's no, here's the things that you might be able to work on with mm-hmm. him at home. Here's the things that you might be able to look out for. You know, she told us, oh, don't put him right back in his car seat because then he might just go right back out of alignment. Don't, you know, do this or that. But not much that we can do at home. No. And again, trying to like fully assess the situation, we could have asked more questions. We could have been like, hey, what can we do at home? Are there things that we can work on him with? Which I don't remember. Did we really follow up and ask much?
We didn't. And well, we also got the recommendation like, hey, there's not much going on within his body. I don't see many imbalances. So we could have said, okay, well then what is the follow-up visit for? We could have said, why do you need to see him again? Right? Yeah. What are you looking for in order to advance? But the problem is, if you tell me there's a misalignment, what does that mean? What are you feeling? What are you seeing? What is the root cause of that? What are you saying that you put it back into alignment when you were doing the touches or the mobilizations? Do you need to see him again because that will help put him back into alignment? What are you saying you're doing? Like, my issue with it going forward was that there was not education for the parent in terms of, it was just, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm seeing. All right, let me see him back. But where is my education on what you felt, what you saw, and what we're doing moving forward?
And another thing that we have an issue with this, whether it's a PT who wants you to come in 3 times a week or mm-hmm. a chiropractor or any practitioner, you see me for these 2 to 3 times a week for 15 minutes, maybe 30 or 40 minutes if you're with someone for a little bit longer. But there are a lot more hours in the week that I'm not with you, that I'm living my life, that I'm doing the things that might be causing these tightnesses or mm-hmm. imbalances in the body that you might be feeling and assessing when I'm with you. So what can I do on my own? What mm-hmm. can we do with our little baby that might be able to help the work that you do with him when we're here? And I think that's one of the main things. You know, we kind of walked out of the office, we decided not to reschedule right away and said, oh, we'll call in if we want to schedule something, and took off.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just to reiterate a little bit more on the alignment issue when we're palpating as clinicians, Dom and I as well, mm-hmm. we have research that's now showing that, you know, between clinicians, they're going to see something different, feel something different. And so there's just not reliability across what we're really and actually doing. We can't say that we for sure are feeling an alignment issue, that we're really feeling the bones move underneath the skin. It's just not a reliable marker of objective value.
Yeah, if you have 10 clinicians who are palpating you with their hands to figure out, quote, alignment issues, like you might have 8 to 10 different takeaways from those 10 different clinicians. And that's kind of what the research says. It's one of the most inaccurate assessment methods as far as positioning goes. Mm-hmm. And there is research that says, oh, if a clinician is much more skilled and has a lot more years under their belt, they may be slightly more skilled at feeling differences in the body. But again, not a very accurate method. And so...
And not even saying that that's a reason for pain or anything, or the reason for his restrictions at his jaw, right? Yeah. So, I mean, again, where was the education? What does that mean? What are you doing moving forward? Because we didn't get any of that, we didn't go back. And so then, you know, and the lactation consultant was very open to us, to our feedback about this appointment and how we felt, and gave us more recommendations. And, you know, I just said, you know, I want to kind of do my own research and see where I feel comfortable going and taking Dante. And so I actually found a physical therapy pediatric clinic pretty nearby where we live. And I think what people misconstrue with physical therapy too is that you have to get a doctor to write a prescription. And in some states, I guess that could still be...
Yeah, there's some states, especially because PTs are licensed by the state specifically. Yeah. So depending on the state you're in, you might have direct access where you can go to 10 to 12 visits before you might need to get a...
most states
yeah,
now.
Yeah, most states are, that's probably the case, where you can go and see them. Your insurance will still accept it without a doctor prescription, because PTs are at that doctorate level. They are entry-level practitioners in today's medical field. So you can go and see them. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. We were noticing when we would play with Dante that he really preferred turning his head to the right. Mm-hmm. It was tough to get him to actively turn his head to the left. He would be able to. We could get him to turn his head to the left. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he would do it actively. So yeah, we wanted to find a pediatric PT to go to and just get their take on things.
Yeah, and see like, okay, where would underlying tension be coming from? And are there things that we're missing when we're working with Dante? And are there exercises and things that we can do with him? Are there things around the jaw that... you know, we might be missing and they can help us. We would do a little hands-on treatment with Dante.
Yeah.
We would do a little massage. We'd do a little suboccipital release. We would do some stuff around his neck muscles, you know, that facilitate in turning and side bending the neck. But are we doing enough? And are we really looking at
the
full picture?
Are we doing the right things?
You know, we're not pediatric physical therapists, though we touch on it in school.
Yeah.
You really have to specialize and go a lot deeper to know fully.
Yeah, so Jen did a little bit of research and found a pediatric PT office that is close to where our pediatrician is actually in Orange County. And we made an appointment, went there, and going into this appointment, this is why I said, you know, we didn't tell the chiropractor that we were both physical therapists. Going into this appointment, I think whoever took your appointment, you mentioned, you know, we're PTs and we're kind of trying to do our own little assessments as we play with them. Mm-hmm. So going into it, they knew that we were both physical therapists.
Which could actually backfire as well. Because if someone knows you're a physical therapist to another physical therapist, they might not educate enough because they think you know this thing.
They think you ought to know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes that could backfire. And I don't always like to mention it, but for whatever reason that was mentioned in the, on the phone, I didn't know that that was going to be relayed to the physical therapist, but it was. So she already knew when we were coming in.
Yeah, and we're coming in. She's like, great, you're both PTs. Okay, so I can talk to you differently.
Yeah.
I was like, one of the first things she said, she's like, I know that you're going to know a lot of what I'm talking about. So I'll just, you know, be able to explain it a little bit more in depth. And I mean, it was just great how she, well, first of all, we had 50 full minutes with her.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Which is awesome to have that time. Dante was a little fussy again.
Yes.
And in this appointment, we had the time where she's just like, okay, why don't you feed him a little bit and we can just talk?
Yeah.
We talked through everything that we were doing with him. We told her all the different stretches and exercises we were already kind of working on to get him to turn his head. We were utilizing some of his infant reflexes that help with head turning, doing tummy time, all of that kind of stuff, the little bit of massage that we were doing. And she's like, well, great. Like, you guys are already 10 steps ahead of, you know, what the average parent might be doing who doesn't have this type of background.
Right. But what I did appreciate too is that she actually didn't want to necessarily assess him when he was in his fussy state, because it gives this distorted picture of, well, is this tension or is this the tension he's building in right now because he's fussy, right? So she didn't get to do, I would say, as much assessment as she wanted to. She still did look at things. She looked at things that we missed. She looked at side bending of the head, where we were more looking at rotation of the head. So of course we missed a vital component that comes along with torticollis. It's not just rotation, it's side bending of the head as well. So, you know, and she looked at active range of motion, passive range of motion. We didn't always get the active range of motion she wanted to get because, again, he was like not having tummy time. He didn't really want to do it. He was tired in this appointment.
Which she also took into account when she told us her assessment. She was like, well, yeah, it did look like he got a little less going to the left, you know, passively and actively. But again, he was fussy. So I don't know if that's just the tension from that, which again, I love that she includes that versus if he was very, you know, comfortable and passive and calm and she did the assessment, it might be more accurate because he doesn't have just that general tension he's building up from being fussy and crying. And so, again, so, you know, glad that she included that in her assessment. And then she kind of went into treatment and stuff.
Yep. And what we can do. And so she showed us, she did the treatment herself, was doing some stretches and some side bending and looking not only at the neck and the tension around the neck, but let's look at the whole side body, right? Yeah. Like the fascia runs along the entire trunk. So yeah. It's not just in the neck. What can we be doing? How can we be holding him different? What are stretches that we could be doing at home? What are exercises that we could be doing? She did it. She showed us. She recommended different things. And along her recommendation, she continued to educate. Yeah. Even as us as PT, she continued to say why she was doing something, exactly what she was looking for, and what she thinks that we could be doing.
Yeah, times that we should be doing these exercises. Mm-hmm. Like if he is crying and fussy and not happy, you shouldn't be trying to stretch him because right. It's similar to how we teach people to stretch yes. or do mobility. Yes. Like you shouldn't do it when you
are tense
yeah. or when you're holding your breath or when you're bearing down to mm-hmm. stretch. Same thing with a baby. If they're crying, what is the stretch doing? They're going to be fighting against it, right? And you mm-hmm. might be actually doing the opposite thing by building more tension in the body. And I love that she included, you know, with the rotation, doing rotation through the whole body as they're laying on the ground, like getting them to rotate their head and then see if they rotate through their entire body. Same with the side body, like you mentioned. Also how we teach people, like if you're having pain in the side of your neck, we don't just teach you to crank on your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the same thing. She's like, it's not very comfortable just to crank on the neck. So what if we just stretch through the whole side body and feel that stretch all the way through the body? So again, the amount of education that she put behind it, the amount of rationale as to why she was doing what she was doing, mm-hmm. super appreciated.
I mean, then the time spent, like that was something yeah. that at the other appointment, we didn't get. We felt a little rushed. We got maybe 15 minutes total with the clinician, baby included. And so, and then, you know, it was up to the front. And with her, it was just so intentional. It was so intentional to really start on time, to get our full time with her. If we needed it, she said if we didn't need it, you know, we could go. But she also slotted and asked an OT if they would be available in case we wanted to look at the latch and in case we wanted to like identify yeah. something a little bit better in their expertise than hers.
Yeah.
And that again, I mean, you might probably won't find that at every office unless you have yeah. OTPT working together, right? But I thought that was such a cool way to see the collaboration between
yeah.
different professions.
And kind of her foresight that, you know, it was mentioned on when you called in to yeah. schedule that like, oh, he's been having some difficulty latching or just like, especially using a bottle and we have tie issues. So she had the foresight to just like mention to the OT, hey, maybe you can pop in and do a quick consult mm-hmm. to see if it would make sense for you to see. Another one of the things that I really appreciated about her is when it came time to schedule again, mm-hmm. she wasn't like, okay, I need to see you in here next week, two or three times. She's like, you two are PTs based on what I've seen and how you already are able to stretch his body and work with him and you're currently doing some of the work, maybe we have another appointment in 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and she wasn't as concerned, right? He didn't have full torticollis. He maybe was on the spectrum of going toward it.
Yeah.
But he still had range of motion.
And torticollis is a disorder that you see a lot in infants mm-hmm. or young children, where one side of the neck, specifically our sternocleidomastoid, mm-hmm. this big ropey muscle in the front, is very tight on one side. And it kind of gives you this rotation and side bending to one side where they can't get to the other side as easily. And, mm-hmm. and it's fairly common in kids. And so that's the main thing that we wanted to assess. And it, of course, is a spectrum where you have some people who are kind of almost locked to one side versus someone like Dante. Like mm-hmm. he might just have a preference.
Yeah.
And it's good to get out ahead of that so he doesn't develop further.
Because that's where we then look at developmental milestones of, are they only rolling one direction? Are they,
yeah.
You know, starting to crawl and wanting to lift one leg? You know, you see sometimes where they crawl on a hand, knee, and then a leg yeah. in the back, and they kind of do this funny crawl. Well, that could be from the tension in the side body. So again, just looking at the whole picture so that we know how we can most effectively support him through his development. And that's really what we want to look at, not just latching, not just the tension around the yeah. neck, but looking at the full body and the full picture.
And if he gets to the point where he develops how he should, we're not noticing any of these things in the future, we very well might cancel that appointment.
Totally.
And a lot of it could be because she gave us the education to understand like if there's anything concerning that she would want to see us back for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when just looking back at both these appointments, again, remove physical therapist and chiropractor
yes, please.
From their titles. we're looking for education. We're looking for somebody who's going to send you out with what you can do at home to benefit yourself between appointments. That's truly what's going to help you with long-term change.
Yes.
You know, you're going to have the most amazing person and practitioner in person that you see for an hour, three times a week. But again, there's 23 hours for the rest of the day and the days between that you're not seeing them, that you should be doing other things to supplement and further benefit the work that you're doing with that person when you're with them.
Yeah. And this is where I always say, make it make sense to me. If I am taking in my child and someone is going to magically start to reduce their tension in 10 to 15 minute visits, 1 to 2 times a week, maybe you're going 3 times a week because you have the money to be able to afford that. And that was the other thing. Our chiropractic appointment was not covered by insurance. Our physical therapy appointment was. A lot of physical therapy offices will take insurance. So it was actually cheaper to go to the physical therapist.
Yeah, to go to PT.
And we got more time with the physical therapist. We got more education. We got exercises that we should do at home. So make it make sense to tell me that this 10 to 15 minute appointment a couple times with someone is magically going to start to make long-term change that you really want to see. It might help, right?
Yeah.
All manual treatment, hands-on, is going to help. And
it's going to feel good.
Yes. Reducing that tension. But then we go back into our regular lives.
Yeah. Most research shows that these manual techniques, whether it's massage, whether it's soft tissue, you know, tool assisted soft tissue mobilization, dry needling, anything, there's like a 24 to 72 hour window, depending on the person, that you might see benefits. But then again, that is going to reduce and go away, and you're going to revert back to your normal state.
If you get nothing to work on,
if you're not doing anything different, you're not going to get a different result.
Yeah. So we just want to hopefully take that all into consideration. What does the assessment look like? Are they talking me through? Are they educating me? Are they explaining the what they're doing and why they're doing it, where the root cause they're seeing is coming from? Treatment. Are they doing some hands-on treatment? Again, education. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you doing it? And what is my plan of care moving forward, rather than let me just see you, you know, because I found these misalignments. But what is the plan? What is the goal here?
Yeah.
What is the plan of care moving forward? You should be able to ask those questions, which again, we could have done better in the first appointment.
Yeah, we could have asked more questions. We could have let them know coming in what we wanted to walk away with. And that's another thing, like advocate for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
From the time you schedule the appointment, let them know, hey, I want to be able to work on this between appointments. If I'm needing follow-up visits, I want to be able to do stuff on my own. And I was talking with Jen when we left that appointment too, and I said, it is kind of a double-edged sword, because when you get all that education, when you're told that there are things you can do at home, you need to do it.
Yeah.
You need to follow up. You need to hold yourself accountable to do the things that you know will make the difference day in, day out, play session with your kid, or if it's for yourself, every time you're moving in a certain way, you need to start to have more consciousness about those things, versus just going into appointment, having them do something that feels good and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a very attractive appointment to just
so attractive.
Not need to do anything, feel good walking out.
Or feel like your baby got fixed in that appointment.
Yeah, I have the mindset that, oh, this is fixing me, this is fixing my baby. And then you walk out and change nothing different, you know, do nothing different. And so it's kind of the double-edged sword, because the appointments that we think are better and more helpful to long-term health are more work. So thanks for tuning in just to listen to some of our takeaways on our little baby Dante's appointments, but really what to look for in what we think is an effective provider, a provider that's really trying to empower you or your family member back into their body and back into their health. If you're new to the podcast, we have so many other podcasts on specific body areas or diagnoses and so many incredible guests. We also have our incredible online community at gen.health. And for our podcast listeners only, you can get into the first month of your subscription on Gen Health for $5 off with code OPTIMAL. If you go down to the link in the show notes, it's just gen.health/free trial. And make sure you use code OPTIMAL. You'll get a discount on your first month, and you also get your first week for free for the free trial, just to check out some of the plans. There are 11 plans that focus all on different body areas, and there are some that have full body focus with full body mobility, core, some with strength workouts or high intensity workouts. There's so much that comes with that membership to help empower you back into your body and get you on track to work through some of those pains and restrictions. Again, thanks for joining us on this podcast, and we will see you on the next episode.